Chicago area, there are not 400 converted Jews. There are about 14 million Jews in the world today. Several hundred thousand of them are living in their land. And their promised land. The rest of them are scattered all over the world. Now, Romans 11:30. For as ye Gentiles in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now that's been in your Bible all the time. Do you ever thank God very much for the mercy you've obtained? God is called the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And God has been merciful to us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He became the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, or the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. I talked to a sinner this week who came down to the office here and wanted to be saved. And I said to him, there isn't anything that gives God more joy, more satisfaction, than to forgive a sinner his sin. And God, when God forgives the penitent sinner who seeks forgiveness and willing to receive forgiveness, God forgives him every sin that he's ever committed. Now, God doesn't do a halfway work. It's complete. It says we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ. All our sins are forgiven. Now, how do we obtain mercy? Well, we know we obtain mercy because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and became the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. But according to Romans 11:30, we Gentiles have obtained mercy because of the Jews' unbelief. Isn't that strange? Have God's plans miscarried? You won't find anything like this in prophecy in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament prophecy, you'll find this, that the Gentiles are going to obtain mercy, great mercy, after the Jews believe. And the Jews are going to believe, but not in this age of grace in which we live, except individual Jews. But just remember this, we are obtaining mercy, because of the unbelief of the Jews. You know, I've been trying to find an honest religious Jew who knows about his people. I've been interested in the different synagogues that have been built in the last few years on the west and northwest side. More than 24 of them. And I met that Jew this last week. And he was honest. He knew his people. He knew what they stood for. And I asked him how the Jews were divided, why they had so many different synagogues. And of course, they're not divided like the Christians are, because we have 270 or 80, and some of them are synagogues, as referred to in Revelation. And he said, we're divided into three groups, generally speaking. There's a fourth group, he finally said. But he said, we're divided into the Orthodox, the Conservative, and the Reform. And then we have a number of Jews who occasionally go to a religious service who are atheists. They are not believers. They do not believe. I said, do you believe in the hereafter? Yes. Do you believe there's something like heaven for people who die and who deserve heaven? He said, yes. I said, what about the three different groups? He said, all of them claim to believe in the resurrection, in the hereafter. Then he showed me the difference between, they told me the difference between the Orthodox and the Conservative and the Reform. And he said, of course, the Reform do not believe the Bible. They take out a here and there a verse, they'll believe that. The Orthodox people claim to believe the teachings of Moses. When I pinned him down, he had to admit that they did not accept all the teachings of Moses. Now that's the condition of the Jew today. And here's what God says about them. Notice. He says in the 11th chapter of Romans, the fifth verse, that was in the year 60 AD, even at this time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What did Israel seek for? Well, whatever they sought for, they did not find. The election found it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God gave them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see. Now while you read that, we're coming back to it, turn to the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. And this is exactly what you would find if you would go in the Orthodox synagogue or the Conservative or the Reform. You'll find exactly what we have here in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Notice the 14th verse. Their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Now, not which veil is done away, but the Old Testament, which is done away in Christ. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They're blind, spiritually blind. They have a government over in the Holy Land. And that government is under the control of Jews that are blind. Now when we read that, let us notice the 11th of Romans at the 17th verse. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, speaking of the Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now the branches are the Jews that were blinded. They have been broken off. God gave them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they could not see, and until this day, the veil is before their eyes when they read Moses in the synagogue. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now let's read together the 21st verse, all together. For if God spared not the natural branches, take less heed lest he also spare not thee. Now let's remember this. In the 10th chapter, we're told that the Gentiles in God's sight were no people. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. God had given them up. God had completely given them up. And there was no hope for the Gentile until after Israel received their Messiah and the kingdom of heaven would be established on earth. Then the Gentiles would find God by going with the Jew. We're told that over 100 times in the Old Testament. But here something entirely different has happened. God says here, notice, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now our subject, if you notice there, speaks of ignorance. And notice, if you will, please, in the closing verses of the 9th chapter of Romans. In the 9th chapter of Romans, notice, we read beginning with the 30th verse. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, if you had the opportunity to examine the 14 million Jews today and those who have lived since the year 60, you would find that 95% of them have stumbled and they're still stumbling. You cannot get one of them to acknowledge that they have to have faith in the shed blood of their Messiah to be saved. They have a very hazy idea in the matter of salvation. But with them it's all what they do and what they do not do. That's the mistake they made. It was for this reason that God blinded them and cut them off. Now notice, it says here, Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. They're stumbling today. It's next to impossible to teach them and the great majority of the Gentiles that you cannot attain unto righteousness or please God or ever get into the kingdom of God or get into heaven by anything that you do. They bring the word do in. They seem to be glad now that there's a picture called the Ten Commandments. They're glad it's being revived. And there's a revival of religion among them. But nothing that would give them eternal life or spiritual life or salvation. Not one of them who belong to the different synagogues believe in salvation by grace through faith. They have an idea that in some way, somehow, they might get something after they leave this life by doing their best they can while they're here on earth. And so they have made a very serious blunder. We say their ignorance is disastrous. Notice the 10th chapter. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Now, as long as you've lived in Chicago, you have never known so many Jews to have a zeal of God as they have today. But notice what it says. Not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, if you do not understand theology or anything of the Bible, if you never hear another sermon, let me say this to you on the authority of God's Word, that only one thing is required of you by God to get into heaven. You will be in heaven forever if before you leave this world you find righteousness. Now the Apostle Paul was in the same predicament of these blinded Jews. And he says, the things that were gained to me I counted as loss. Yea, I counted all things as dung that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, but that righteousness which is of faith. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, and on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You cannot earn the righteousness of God. You can never in any way purchase the righteousness of God. You do not deserve it. You have to accept the righteousness of God as the free gift of God. And the very moment you come by faith to Calvary and acknowledge that you're the ungodly sinner for whom Christ died, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that very moment, the infinite, eternal, holy, righteous God gives you His righteousness. And when God gives you His righteousness, you are just as righteous in the sight of God as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And when you stand in the presence of God, claiming righteousness, God says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, He hath made Jesus Christ to be our righteousness. Some people say then, why emphasize this in the condition of the Jew? If you will talk, well, if you, the next 100 Gentiles that you mention, speak to about the Lord, you'll find that out of 100 of them, 75 or 80 will tell you what they do and what they do not do. They will not let go of the law and let go of works and trust wholly in the grace of God for their salvation and for the righteousness of God. Now we call that, we see how disastrous was the ignorance of Israel when they went about to establish their own righteousness and would not submit unto the righteousness of God. God cut them off. And see where the Jew has been for the last 1900 years, because he would not receive righteousness as the gift of God. Now if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews, He's not going to spare the Gentile. In fact, He's not going to spare anybody who does not become righteous. And no one can become righteous by striving with the Ten Commandments or struggling with the Golden Rule or joining the church or in any other way than by coming by faith as an ungodly sinner to the cross of Calvary and receiving there the righteousness of God. Now the other scripture we want you to get is Romans 11:25. Romans 11:25. This is the inexcusable ignorance of Christians. And let me say this to you. You've heard of preachers who are post-millenarians. Now, no post-millenarian believes this scripture. If he believed this scripture, he would not be a post-millenarian. Anyone who believes this scripture will be a premillenarian. Will believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to save His kingdom nation and establish His kingdom on this earth. Now notice what it said. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery or secret, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I wish you'd read it about 150 times this afternoon and ask yourself this question. Do I know what it means for the fullness of the Gentiles to be come in? The fullness of the Gentiles will come in when this present age and dispensation of grace has suddenly come to an end. And we say suddenly, as our brother Traylor prayed, "Behold, I show you a mystery," should go right along with this mystery. Now the blindness in part happened to Israel, that's a mystery. "Behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all die. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." This age of grace in which we live, this dispensation of grace, is going to close in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, until that time, we're living in the age and dispensation of grace in which God is dealing in a very special way with the Gentile. The Jews can come in, but primarily this dispensation of grace is always mentioned in connection with the Gentile. "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." This is not God's prophesied, predicted program. This is not the way God foretold that he would do things. The way he's going to do things is to establish Israel and put them in their land and make them missionaries to the Gentiles. You know the condition of the world today. You know that there are 600 or 700 million people behind the Iron Curtain, and the majority of them say with the fool, "There is no God." You know that there are 1 million heathen in the world today, and you see the rest of the world. How would you like to be the Secretary of the State right now? How would you like to be the President of the United States today and try to settle the conditions in the world today? What a condition the world is in today. Now, what do you think is going to happen when the Jews look on him whom they pierced, and a nation is going to be suddenly born? "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. And all nations shall mourn because of him." And there are over 300, I've been reading this week, there are over 350 prophecies in the Old Testament that I found out that the nation Israel is going to be established, and through the nation Israel, the Gentiles are going to come to the Lord. But that's not during this period. You see today the condition of the world. Now, what is the Lord doing today? Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And the fullness of the Gentiles will come in very suddenly. The church will be taken home to glory, and the Lord Jesus will present the church unto himself as a holy, spotless, glorious church without blemish, and they too shall be one flesh, and God will complete what he's doing. He says in Ephesians 2:15, "I will make of the twain one new man, so making peace. And he'll get every member of the body of Christ, those that have died, those who are alive, take them home to glory. And until that time, a blindness in part will happen to the Jew. Then what's going to happen? What does he say? Very simple. He says, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer who will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now notice, as concerning the gospel, the Jews are enemies for the Gentiles' sake. As touching the election, their beloved, for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did God send Moses down to Pharaoh to take the children of Israel out of Egypt? Because he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And why will he yet choose Israel? Because he said Israel was Jacob, and Jacob was the grandson of my friend Abraham. And for Abraham's sake and for Jacob's sake, I will yet redeem Israel and plant them in their own land, and they'll never be plucked up again. And then the Gentiles will take a hold of the skirt of the Jew and say, we hear the Messiah is with you, the Lord is with you, and we want to go with you to worship. That's when the kingdom of heaven will be at hand. But the kingdom of heaven is not now at hand. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How different it is. Are we ignorant of God's righteousness? Now remember this. The moment you are saved and receive God's righteousness, you receive the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to walk in the Spirit and fulfill the righteousness of the law. There never was a time in the history of the world when the people of God should be separated as they are today. Never should we have a testimony for this world in its commotion and in its trouble today as we should have today. We should live up to the high ideals that the Apostle Paul has given, abstaining from the very appearances of evil. But nothing that you do in your conduct or your behavior has anything to do with your getting into heaven. Don't make the mistake that Israel made. God wants you to behave while you're on the way to heaven. But God wants you to know that you're not going to heaven because you behave. You're going to heaven because you believe. They were cut off because of unbelief. Be not high-minded, but fear. And we have obtained mercy through their unbelief. And now God says to us, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To him that worketh not, but to him that believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And let me say to you on the authority of God's word, you do not have to do one single thing, not one single religious thing, to become a righteous person in the sight of God so far as your standing is concerned. By simple faith in the Son of God who died on Calvary's cross, that's the wonderful thing about the grace of God. That's the period and age which God has brought in. He's going to suddenly close it. It's going to be brought to a sudden ending. And remember, there's something besides the rapture of the church. After the church is raptured and the Holy Spirit is removed, what a time of trouble is going to be on this earth before the Son of Man comes back to establish his. Have you received the Lord as your Savior? If you have, then you have the righteousness of God. You can be sure of heaven. I've had the privilege of talking with several lately. There's some people that are really saved that really don't have the assurance that to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord, that you're really saved. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's the free gift of God, and God wants you to know it. It's a great thing to be ready. Ready at any time the Lord calls.